Turn in your Bible to Ephesians 2. I'm going to try not to be scattered, and I'm going to try not to be long. Everybody's like, I don't know. See, it ain't preached in 3 weeks. It was... Today I want to talk about being seated in peace. Or we could say being seated in rest. Hebrews 4 talks a lot about us entering into the rest of God. Finding His rest. It cross-references it with the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. And we can escape Egypt and be delivered from Egypt, which is a type of our sin nature. It's a type of the bondage that we were in. I guess I want to say you can be saved and yet never enter into His rest. You can, I believe in heaven, I believe in hell. You can escape hell and you can gain heaven and never enter into His rest here on earth. And His intention is for us to enter into His rest. I'm going to read this scripture and then I'm just going to share some things. In Ephesians 2 verse 4 it said, but God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by His wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascended with Him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. The King James says that we are seated in Christ, with Christ in heavenly places. I love in this in verse 7, it says, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. It didn't say we would be the visible display by our power, by our authority, by our might, or our previous definition of power and authority and might. I typically, when I have thought through the years on being seated in Christ and the authority that comes with that, boy, we just think about the authority over dominion and authority like Brett was talking about. We're, you know, screaming at devils and moving mountains and all of this stuff. And I am a type A personality by nature, me myself. And so it is, I think, even more challenging for me to learn to be still and take on His nature instead of my nature. Because I'll be honest with you, I like type A personality nature. We're going to get it done. And we're going to put our nose to the grindstone and we're going to make it happen. And we're going to work. If you work hard enough and you work long enough, and if you climb that tree high enough or climb that mountain high enough or run faster ahead of people, then you're going to see and do amazing things and accomplish amazing things. But the Word talks about the lion and the lamb and that they'll lay down together, and which one had to change his nature? For a lion and a lamb to lay down, which one had to change its nature? The lion. And I believe that God's willing to take the sword-swinging lion out of us and understand that being seated with Him, being seated in Him, being co-seated with Him, looks a lot more like a lamb than it does Peter with a sword. We look in the book of Revelation and the seven seal scroll, and we all know the story. And you got the elders, you've got all the mighty ones of faith, man, the champions of faith, the ones that we talk about, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Maybe it's those witnesses that I'm surrounded by. Maybe it's not the 24 elders. Maybe it's peace and love and hope. Maybe that's the witnesses I'm surrounded by. But we know the story and we look at the story. And John says, I wept much because nobody could step forward and take this title deed to planet Earth. It was basically what it was. He said, but then all of a sudden, somebody said, weep not. Because look. And it was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But you know what it was? It was a lamb that had been slain. And he stepped forward in humility and meekness and love and peace. And that's what conquers. That's the seat of authority. That's true authority. Not that I'm going to beat you in arm wrestling, but because of the word of his testimony, the beauty of his testimony, that all power, authority, and dominions have to bow a knee to a little lamb. We're driving back across the country this week. In different parts of the country, you'll see, you know, you go through Nebraska, you see a lot of cattle farms and all of that stuff. But also, you'll run into sheep farms, and you'll see these sheep farms. And there is nothing intimidating about a sheep. You look, and it's pastoral, and it's peaceful. And he said, "That's true authority." That's true authority. Just recently, I had something happen with me in my life, and I allowed it to disrupt me for a few days. I allowed it to disrupt me from a place of being seated in peace. And I hated that feeling. I had about 2 days where I absolutely hated that feeling. I knew I was saved. I knew I was his. I knew I was kept. I knew I was loved. But I was displaced from a being seated in a place of peace. And you know, the word says that the devil is the saint's accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. And in that reference, he is speaking of the enemy coming before God and accusing us before God. But I think the most common and the most practical way that he's the accuser of the brethren is he accuses us to ourselves. And I know it was the enemy coming against me in just a lot of different ways, because he did want to unseat me from a place of peace, because that's what we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're seated in his place of peace and love. And it's a place of absolute rest. It's not a place of unbusyness, but it's absolute rest. In Genesis 2, it talks about the Lord and how he created the Sabbath. You know, it says he did all of creation and created man in 6 days. He did everything. Now, whether that's 6 24-hour periods or, you know, the 6 days was actually 3 million years, I don't know and I don't care. A day with the Lord, you know, with the Lord is 1,000 years to man. So who knows what it looks like? I have no problem with people. I'm not one of these that says the earth is 6,000 years old and that's it. I got no problem with a scientist saying that rock 6 million years ago. Cool, the earth could have been void and without form for 100 million years. Adam and Eve could have walked with the Lord for 1 million years before they ate of the fruit. We think it just slipped in the next day. But when the Lord comes in and he creates everything, it said he rested from his labors. Now, we know God wasn't tired. But he rested from his labors. He rested in everything that he had set in motion. After Jesus came and lived the perfect life and died for our sins on Calvary's cross and was resurrected, the word says that he went and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. It doesn't mean he's inactive. It just means he is in a place of peace and rest with everything that he has set in motion. So I had a thing where I told the Lord. I was like, Lord, I just feel like everybody's judging me right now. I don't know if it was just me having an honest conversation with God or me whining. I'm not sure. You know, he was cool with either one. You know, he says, I know you're whining. It's okay. He still loved Elijah when Nick, he still loved Elijah when Elijah was whining. And he was, I'm the only one left. He's like, oh, by the way, I got 7,000. Hadn't battled, need a bell. So I came to the Lord and I felt like, God, I just felt like, everything that I do is getting judged. I'm not saying getting judged with rocks, you know, in the hands of people wanting to throw rocks at me, but everything that, you know, no matter what I did or you know, how I spent my time or how I spent my money or, you know, the lifestyle me and Lori choose or whatever, I just felt like everything was getting judged. And the reality is we all have opinions. We all have opinions of each other. And we can and will have those things as long as we don't have those opinions with rocks in our hand. Because the natural thing, I'm going to look at Brett and I'm going to be like, you know, we got the choice of clicking thumbs up or thumbs down. You know, I agree with that and good job, brother. Or I don't know about that. I wouldn't do it that way. And so we all have opinions of each other. And that can turn into something negative, or it can be something that's positive. It can turn into prayer. It can turn into undergirding, or it can turn into criticism and rocks. But the way that the enemy works is, I understand that everybody has an opinion, but the way the enemy works is he caused me to start judging myself. All of a sudden, I was judging everything, every decision that I had made a long time ago or recent. What I did, what I didn't do. You know, start judging everything. You know, I got to get delivered. I love to cook, and I got to get delivered from my cooking. I'm serious, because I am my own worst critic, and it gets on Lori's nerves so bad. You know, we had some friends over last night and I cooked steaks and, you know, and man, I'm using a meat probe and I'm getting a temperature and the meat probe lied to me. I'm like, dude, this is 125. I'm pulling it and letting it rest. I pull it and let it rest for 5 minutes and all of a sudden we start cutting and it's medium well. And I'm like, what the heck? So all evening, I'm apologizing. I'm like, man, I'm sorry. Yeah, but that's good. No, at least it's like, that's good steak. See it now? And I'm like, yeah, but I overcooked it. And I'm judging myself all night long. I need delivering from that. I really do. Anybody else different? We do. We look at our mistakes we've made in the past. Sometimes we can see that are visible. And we judge that, and we begin to judge ourselves, and we begin to judge our life. Maybe I did this wrong. Maybe I handled this wrong. Maybe I made this wrong decision. Maybe I made this wrong financial decision. Maybe I made this wrong business decision. Maybe I made this wrong relational decision. And it's one thing for everybody else to have an opinion about that. And as long as you don't throw rocks, fine, keep the opinion. That's cool. You know? But when it begins to unseat us from a place of peace, it's when we begin to judge ourselves and we get moved off of that seat of peace. That's when we are not as we should be. And I had that for about 2 days and it felt terrible. It felt absolutely awful. I'm like, I hate this. I hate feeling like this. And I'm not going to live like this. Because peace and love is heaven's currency. Peace and love is the foundation of his kingdom. And what happens is when we get unseated, displaced from that place of peace, you know what we start doing? We start swinging our sword and trying to fix stuff. We start swinging our sword and trying to fix stuff. I thought about Peter, and I feel like that's what happened to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter comes in, and we know the story. And they come to arrest Jesus. Peter knew it was going to happen because Jesus told him that one of you is going to betray me. It's there in the upper room. And Peter looks at John and like, find out who it is. Because John's laying on the breast of Jesus. Other than Jesus, you know who my favorite person in the Bible is? It used to be Peter and David because they were more suited to my personality. I'm like, I love these guys. Gonna make it happen. My absolute favorite is John. Do you know the four Gospels, the Gospel of John is the only one that teaches us about the Holy Spirit? Because he wrote it from a place of intimacy. Matthew wrote it from, let me tell you about Jesus. I'm a tax collector background. Let me tell you about Jesus. And I'm thankful for the Gospel of Matthew. Mark and Luke weren't even disciples of Jesus. Later on, they were disciples, and I commend them. They're beautiful, beautiful works. But John wrote it from a place of intimacy. John wrote it from a place of being seated in peace and a place of love. And he told us about the Comforter of the Holy Spirit and how he was going to be all of these things. And Jesus said, it's better that I go because he's coming. That I can't even wrap my head around that. I'm like, Jesus, I've been hanging out with you for 3 years. Ain't nothing better than this. He said, it's better that I go. Because he's going to come and live inside of you. And so we have Peter in this story. And you think about this. You know, Judas has betrayed, is in the act of betraying Jesus. And Peter's got his sword. And he had already been saying, he pretty bold on stuff. He said, all these jokers right here might deny you, Lord. I mean, probably looking at them, all these guys, but not me. And he was sincere. But he was choosing an inferior way. And he pulled out a sword. We know the story. He cut off the ear of Malchus' servant. And Jesus is like, put your sword up, Peter. And he did a recreative miracle and put his ear back on. And I thought about I think it was James and John, the sons of thunder. You remember when Jesus had his face fixed toward Jerusalem? And he goes through this Samaritan village and Jesus was going to stay and they didn't want to receive him because his face was on Jerusalem, not on them. And they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, you want us to call fire down and kill these guys? I love the fact that they thought they could call fire down. I do. I love that. I mean, that's awesome. And Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. He said, my kingdom doesn't look like this. And when we get displaced from a seat of peace, you know what we start doing? Robin, you're a type A, you're like me, you try to fix everything. We start swinging our sword. And you know what happens in that? It gives place for the enemy to come in and judge us and cause us to judge ourselves. Because immediately what we do is like, I'm going to try to fix this, but did I fix it right? I'm going to try, but did I say it right? Did I do it right? And so we start second guessing everything that we do. And ultimately, you know what that does? It paralyzes us. We get twisted up like a twister game. That we're swinging that sword because we got authority and we got might. And we're going to fix this. And the whole time we're second guessing ourselves. Hey, we'll do it with sermons. The enemy will come in and like, cause you to start judging your sermon. You didn't have to get all emotional, Brett, and get crying like that and all that. Can I be honest with you right now without hurting your feelings at all? And this shouldn't hurt your feelings. I don't remember what you preached, but I remember how I felt. I don't remember the text, but I remember how it made me feel. I remember your story, but I don't remember the text. I'll go back and I'll re-listen to it, but I know how it made me feel. And I'll take that 1,000 times over. Because that's what seats us in a place. Because we'll get twisted up and we'll swing swords like crazy. I think what happened next was a result of this. I think symbolically. Because the word tells us that Peter and we assume, all scholars assume John, followed the soldiers and went into the courtyard where they were trying Jesus. And they're there. And we know the story. One of the servants looked at Peter and said, "You're one of his disciples." And Peter denied it 3 times. The rooster crowed. Jesus looked him in the eye. He ran out and he wept bitterly. But because he was in a place of being displaced from peace, it opened him up to the accusations of the enemy. Who didn't get accused? John. Surely if he knew that Peter was one of his disciples, if he'd seen Peter with him, he saw John with him. You ever thought about that? They didn't say y'all. I mean, Peter was one of the main three, but John was too. But because John did not get displaced from a seat of peace, he was not open to accusations. I just think that's huge symbolically. That's something the Lord's just speaking to me on that. That's powerful to me as it pertains to my life, because when I know when I get unseated from peace, you know what happens? Then accusations come. You know what accusations bring? Fear. Anxiety. Depression. That's what happened to you last year, Nick. Is you got displaced from a seat of peace. And so it opened up to the what ifs of the enemy. And Peter cussed and ran out and left, made eye contact with Jesus. And I don't believe that Jesus, when he looked on him, I believe that he looked on him with love and not condemnation. And that's what broke Peter's heart. Because that love drew him back. Because when you see the disciples together in the room that I made reference to a while ago, guess who was there? Peter. When they're there at the sea and they've gone fishing and Jesus shows up on the seashore and John says it's the Lord, Peter didn't shrink back in the boat, dude. He dove in and got there first. And that's how beautiful the Lord is. But John did not get displaced from a seat of peace. And so John could stay in the courtyard without the accusations of the enemy, without the judgment, without judging himself. You know, the whole time Peter's probably sitting there saying, "God, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have cut that dude. Obviously, I did the wrong thing. Jesus corrected it and fixed it and all of that. He didn't rebuke me real bad. It was just a gentle loving thing. But boy, I blew it. I do it all the time." And then he goes down that rabbit trail. And it opened it up to the judging of a servant girl. And John never left his seat of peace. And not only was he able to stay in the courtyard, but you know where John was, the only one of the 11 remaining disciples. You know where he was when Jesus was hanging on the cross? He was standing at the foot without fear of retribution, without anxiety, without worry. He may tell me one day and say, "Dude, I was sweating bullets, but Jesus, I couldn't leave him." But he was seated in peace because he said, as long as my eyes are fixed on him. So much to the place. Jesus has got brothers. And he looks at his mother as he's bleeding on the cross. And he sees beloved identity standing there. He sees seated in peace standing there. And he said, "Woman, behold your son." I mean, James is like, "What the heck? I'm going to write an epistle one day." And he looked at John and he said, "Behold your mother." And being seated in a place of peace will bring us into a place of intimacy with the Lord. It supersedes everything else. We were talking about it in the side room, and James kind of equated it to being in the Gulf Stream. Because where that Gulf Stream goes, how do we live that life? It's staying in that Gulf Stream. Where the Gulf Stream goes, there's a life is prolific. I remember one year Ariel had a ball tournament in Fort Lauderdale, and we were down for her tournament, and we're like, "Let's go scuba diving." And I had read that the Gulf Stream goes in pretty close there at one point around Fort Lauderdale. And so me and Aaliyah and Lori, Ariel, I don't know who all of us, but we went diving. And right off the beach at Fort Lauderdale, I love Charleston, but dude, you don't go to Charleston for the ocean. I mean, it's like muddy lake water. But the visibility was amazing. I saw more lobster there than I've ever seen in my life. There were dang lobsters everywhere. And you know why? Because it was in the Gulf Stream that got in close enough to shore there that it brought clarity and it brought life. And you say, how do I stay seated in this place? He talks about life union with him. It's staying in that Gulf Stream and recognizing when I get displaced from this. See, here's what would have been sad, guys, if I had been displaced from being seated in peace and not been able to recognize it. But it felt so foreign, I hated it so bad that I'm like, I'm not living like this. I'm not living like this. And we become numb and accustomed. And so what do? In response, we just swing our sword harder. And we try to fix it. And we try to beat down the depression or medicate ourselves or the anxiety or fear. I mean, every one of us, guys, have got those things looming in front of us. What's the economy going to look like next week? What's my health going to look like next week? And we came out of COVID and we knew all new people that died. Our age people that died. We're like, my gosh, I thought I was going to live to be 90, but who knows? You know what I mean? And all of these things have potential to come in. Hannah, you're about to embark on an amazing part of your life. When you're getting married this year, not next year, you're getting married this year. and you're about to start something that's amazing. And I don't know at what point, but sometime after that, you're going to start having kids and you're going to have all this. And if you get displaced from a seat of peace in Him, you know what it does? It opens up the avenue for the enemy, the doorway for the enemy to come in and bombard you with what ifs, with fear, with anxiety. What if he doesn't turn out to be the guy I think he is? And the enemy begins to feed on that. And you know what our response in that typically is? I'm just going to swing a sword harder. And I'm going to fight air. And you know what that is? It's exhausting. It is, trust me, from type A experience, it's exhausting. But when I get in that place of life union with Him, that's why He says, cast all your cares on me. Because I care for you. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I'll give you my peace. That's what He told them. He said, I give you my peace, not the peace that the world gives you. The peace that the world gives you is circumstantial. But He says, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives you, I give you my peace. That's the authority of the gospel, guys. It's not moving a mountain or chasing a demon. That's great. That's good. That's part of it. But the authority comes from heaven's currency, which is what? Peace and love. That's the foundation. That's the bedrock. That's how Jesus overcame. That's how He overcame, with His love. For God so what? For God was strong enough, He kicked the devil's tail. That's never been in question. The devil is not the opposite of God. It's not like this is the big struggle, this cosmic struggle between God and the enemy. Psst. That's never the question. Didn't say because God was strong enough. He's omnipotent and He's omniscient, and that's how He overcame. Overcame by love. And with His love brings in peace. Adam wasn't swinging a sword in the garden when him and God were walking, when him and Jesus were walking. Wasn't swinging a sword. That's why people get offended when I say that being married is the easiest thing that I do in the natural. They do, because they're like, I don't get it. Because stop swinging a sword. Get seated in a place of love. Yeah, but you don't know the strains we're under. Yeah, I do, man. I've bounced checks. I know. I've dealt with family crap. I know. I've dealt with the fear of sickness and uncertainty. We've lost a child. We know. But if you stay seated in peace, it's not getting more skillful with the sword. Keith, I don't want you to turn into a marriage samurai. I'm so skillful. I want you to get seated in love and seated in peace. And rest in that. Out of that. Y'all know the beautiful picture in Ezekiel of the throne room? And the stream of life flows out of the throne room. And everything it touches, it brings life to. You know what's the source of that fountain? It's the love of God. And the peace that comes with that. He says, the Apostle Paul says, it's a peace that passes all understanding. Because I'm seated in that. I'm not striving. I'm not swinging my sword. So I guess what the Father, I mean, and we didn't even talk about songs this morning. But boy, the songs that y'all picked, Linda, James, Noah, you guys. Absolutely just like, oh my gosh. I mean, you thought we collaborated this morning on that. That's what he wants. It is him. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony. The cool thing about this, guys, and let me leave you with this. The cool thing about this is, even though Peter missed it in some areas, Peter still wound up amazing. Even though I missed it in a lot of areas, and I will continue to miss it sometimes, because when the Apostle Paul says, "I die daily." I think that part of the dying daily is not that I've got all this sin that's shackled to me and I got to keep cutting it off and cutting it off and cutting it off. You know, my dying daily is becoming more like a lamb and less like a lion. Because I was taught in old school Pentecostal that the lion is that's the commendable one. Dragon slayer. And love's what conquers it. Love's what the enemy can't combat. Love's what the enemy can't fathom. That's why we are His, the word says we are His poetry. That we are His trophies of grace. All the created beings, man, you got the seraphim and the cherubim and you got all of these things, these six-winged creatures and all of this stuff that's worshiping God. And they look and they're like, this blows my mind, this grace thing. This grace thing just blows my mind. Because I can see their flaws and I know what happened to fallen angels and Lucifer. And I see their flaws, but love triumphs over all of it. And the way we reach the world is not getting more skillful with a sword. It's being undone by His love. And we've tried real hard to get real skillful in church. And we've done, and I'm all about being excellent. I am all about being excellent. But being skilled with a guitar and having lights and smoke and being a great orator and all of that stuff, that does not change the world. That doesn't convert the Muslim. I'll swing a sword better than you. If you don't like it, I'll bomb you into submission. Love's what conquers. Peace is the seat for us to be in. So, this is my New Year's message. Okay? I missed out on the other New Year's message. I guess Brett got it. It was pre-New Year's and Brett got the New Year's message. That I can't remember the text. But I know how it made me feel. I'm 2,000 miles away and I'm weeping listening to a podcast. And you know what that is? That's not a great orator. That's beautiful love from Jesus, from Father. And it's the same frequency, the Holy Spirit that's living inside of me. That's why I'm weeping right now. So my New Year's message for us this year is that if we really want to sit in a seat of authority, that seat looks like peace. It looks like rest. It looks like Sabbath. It looks like Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. That's what it looks like. That's the foundation for the hope for, you want to build your marriage on something, Hannah? That's it. That's it. if you will build, if you build your career, I kind of like the way you're not like super stressed about career. I do. That's pretty cool to me. You know, it's like, because God's not stressed about it either. You know, God don't care what you do. You don't do this? Okay. You don't do this? Okay. That's fine. Because that's not your seat. Your seat's peace. Your seat's love. That's what we build our life on. That's what we build 2025 on, is being seated in that. And the moment we get displaced from that, we recognize it. And we say, I hate this. And I am going back into the stream of life union with Him. Okay? Then you'll quit judging yourself. People are always going to have their opinion about you, and that's fine. I don't, y'all got an opinion about me. That's cool. But when I'm seated in a place of peace, it doesn't disrupt me. It doesn't disrupt me. So live in that uninterrupted place, and it robs, listen to this, I'm closing with this, it robs the enemy of the strength of his accusations. That's huge. When we're in the place like John, it robs the enemy of the strength of accusations. I believe that when John was standing at the foot of the cross, I don't believe that he was all hooded up and cloaked up and all of that stuff. He didn't care who said he's one of his disciples. I honestly believe he did not give a flying rip who said that's one of his disciples. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, when they took the body of Jesus off that cross, they did not care who saw them. Being seated in a place of peace and love robbed the enemy of the power of his accusations. He still had accusations. He still had an opinion. But it robbed him of the power of it. This is, y'all listen, this is huge. This is pretty significant. It robs the enemy of the power. It robs the enemy of the power of fear. It robs the enemy of the power of anxiety. It robs the enemy of the power of depression. It does. So that's where we live this year, guys. That's where we live this year, guys. Will you make some mistakes? Probably. Will I make some mistakes? Probably. But it robs the enemy of the strength of shame, of the strength of all those things. It robs him of the strength of that. So defend that with a ferocity. This is my seat. It's my seat. And it's in Christ. Don't swing a sword to fix circumstances. Defend that. Stay focused and committed on that. My life union with Him. And I will overcome. But it's because of His blood, and it's because of His testimony. The faithfulness of Him. Not how good I do it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. You know how liberating this is? Doesn't depend on you getting it all right. Newsflash, you won't. But it depends on His goodness and His faithfulness. The Word says we are co-seated with Christ. And I'm co-seated with Him, not by my strength. I mean, he goes into all this. Apostle Paul goes into all this. He said, it's not of your work, so you can't boast. It's not by you getting it and doing it. Da-da-da, it's by His grace. You're bathed by His grace. You know who we are? We're Mephibosheth. And I come dragging in with my old broke-down self. But I got a seat at the king's table. Because of the covenant that was made. I got a seat at His table. Because of Him. Because of His love. Because of His love. Amen. All right. I could probably go for about 3 more hours, but I'm good. Let's pray, and then let's go home, and let's Shabbat. Let's Sabbath. Go home and curl up with Him. Go home and curl up with somebody. Curl up with a fire or a bowl of chili. And enjoy being seated. Enjoy being seated. As it should be, Keith. As a 64-year-old man, I think he's 64. 64-year-old man that is blessed beyond measure. Go home, soak in that. Soak in that tub. And you know what? You'll feel stress. Sometimes Lori will be like, I just need a tub. I just need to soak my tub for a little while. And you know what happens? Stress, anxiety. In that moment, it just goes soak in Him. As it should be in that Gulf Stream. Amen? All right. Awesome. 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 Hey, you want to dismiss this day, brother?